We're going to take those public comments right now. So, Ms. Plant, do you have a few people on your list? Somebody unmute Janice, please. There you go. Go ahead, Janice.
Yes, I don't think we have any additions from the previous list we had. I think we have Maggie Raymond who'd like to speak. And there's a chance that Ron Smolowitz may want to speak on a scallop issue.
Okay, very good. Ms. Raymond, if you're ready to go, we'd forward you the public comment. With us, Maggie.
Hang on, Mr. Chair. Yes, she was, and then I'm not sure where she went. Okay.
I'm here. Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and members of the council. Speaking today on behalf of the fishing vessel Tremont. The fishing vessel Tremont is permitted to fish in the NAFO regulatory area. The trips to the NAFO area are several weeks long, including steaming time of at least 24 hours through the US EEZ. The captain of the Tremont would like to be able to use the steaming time in the EEZ to make repairs and adjustments to the fishing gear when necessary. Currently, the gear storage requirements to tarp the net prevents working on the gear. It would increase the efficiency of the trip, especially in terms of utilizing the labor of the crew while steaming, as opposed to taking additional time for repairs at the dock. It is typical practice for fishing vessels to make repairs and adjustments to the gear while steaming to their fishing grounds, except, of course, through closed areas. The regulations for NAFO treat the entire EEZ as a closed area. These trips are 100% observed, excuse me, and are tracked by VMS, which allows the boat speed to be observed when underway. It is our interpretation of the gear stowage regulations that GARFO has the authority to establish other stowage regulations, including the possibility of no stowage requirements. And we're happy to report that GARFO is collaborating with our request to draft new and workable stowage requirements for the Tremont. Today, we're asking the council to support the Tremont proposal to allow for the net to be untarped when transiting the EEZ. We are proposing as an alternative that there would be no containment rope or any other mechanism to close off the cod end. Our proposal, excuse me, is for the ability to work on the gear in both directions to and from the NAFO area while in the US EEZ. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any. And thank you for consideration.
Okay, Ms. Raymond. Yeah, I certainly appreciate the fact that you don't want to chase your crew down once the boat hits the dock, and it's a long boat ride. You got plenty of time to do gear work. But Mr. Pentney, do you have any comment here at all? Okay, maybe not. Is there any questions of Maggie from the council? Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I was just curious if the request is for the one vessel that you mentioned, I think it was the Tremont, or whether it's for any other vessels that are participating in that fishery in that area, because I imagine that might be a consideration for the agency or others, is whether it's just for this one vessel or others participating in that fishery.
I can answer that. The Tremont is the only vessel in that fishery, at least for the immediate future. Jeff, there is no other boats that have requested to fish in the NAFO area. Maggie, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yep.
And they have the permit for the next couple of years.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No problem. Mr. Pentney. And then Dr. Sisson-Wine.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I couldn't unmute myself there for a second. So I think, I mean, Maggie described it correctly. We're, I believe there's a meeting planned between our staff and Ms. Raymond and the Tremont, February 8th. So we're going to talk about this in detail and get a better sense of specifically what it is that, you know, how we can write the regs to try to accommodate what they're looking to do. We understand why they're trying to, would like to do this, and we want to be accommodating if we can. So we're going to look at this. And as she described, we have the authority to do this under RA authority. So we don't actually need, you know, council doesn't have to be directly involved, doesn't require, as far as we have thus far ascertained, doesn't require council action. But it's good for the council to be engaged and aware. And then to Mr. Smith's question, you know, we would be writing this so that it would apply to any vessel that, in the, you know, potentially in the future, that's permitted to fish in NAFTA regulated waters. Right now, as you said, you know, the Tremont is the only vessel, but in the future, you know, if we're able to secure some additional fishing opportunities for U.S. vessels in NAFTA waters, in the coming years, then we would certainly provide the same opportunity for those vessels as well.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Before I go to Dr. Sisselwein, Mr. Nice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My recollection is when we redid the gear stowage requirements a few years ago, one of the motivations was because of Coast Guard concerns with the difficulty of enforcing the gear stowage requirements from the air. Obviously, with one vessel, that makes it pretty obvious why they may not be complying, but it may be worthwhile, and I don't know if anyone has touched base with the Coast Guard on this issue yet or not.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Dr. Sisselwein.
Yes, I appreciate Maggie's comments, and obviously we would be very supportive of making an accommodation in this case. I was going to suggest that maybe there was a motion to support this under other business might be appropriate, but apparently that's not necessary based on Regional Administrator Pentney's comments. So I'm glad to see that this is headed in a positive direction. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Sisselwein. Mr. Smith, are you all set?
Yeah, sorry, I neglected to put my hand down, Mr. Chair. I'll get it one of these days.
Very good. Anybody else from the council have any questions or comments for Ms. Raymond? Okay, well, Ms. Raymond, at this point, you know, I personally would support the continued dialogue between yourself and Mr. Pentney's staff, and you just have to keep us updated, because at this point, this is not on our agenda. Perhaps it might have to be in the future, but hopefully you'll work it out by the time we see you again. So,
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, very good. So next up, we might have Mr. Smolowitz. Ron, go ahead.
I'd like to talk briefly about the need to expand our ability to conduct research during commercial fishing trips. We've had great success with the scallop industry bearing the cost for the enhancement project offshore. There's a report in your folders on that. And we've also having great success with the clam fishery in HMA. You'll probably see more data on that. It's very efficient. It's cost effective and it's paid for by the industry. And I think as wind development takes a hold, this type of monitoring by commercial fishing vessels of what's occurring offshore will work out quite well. But we have a problem with the experimental fishing permit system, and I think needs to be addressed, in that we can't do multi-year work. A lot of the research we do needs to be continuous. It's multi-year. It takes 3-4 years in some cases when it comes to habitat issues and productivity. In the scallop RSA, we could do a 2-year project, and what we do is 6-month progress reports. And I would say a similar system for EFP would be very effective. And I'm just wondering what's the best way to go about starting that discussion so that we could, well, certainly solve the clam issue and scallop enhancement are two things that are being held up by this problem with EFP. So I'm wondering if the council could weigh in or if Mike Pentney might have some suggestion on how to move forward here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Well, I think in Jonathan's presentation, he talked about RSA, and certainly we have our priorities discussion later on in the year, and I would suggest that either one of those opportunities as appropriate, you should get in the game, Ron, which you're more than capable of doing. So anybody on the council have any additional comments to Mr. Smallwitz? Seeing none. Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, Janice Plant, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, not to Ron's comment, but we did have one additional person who reached out to us indicating that he might want to make a comment, and he is on the webinar. So before we close out public comment, I don't know if you'd like to check with Jim Kendall of New Bedford. He might be all set, but he did want to stay in the wings.
Okay, thank you. Well, he's got his hand up. So, Mr. Kendall, go ahead.
We're showing him unmuted, but we can't hear you, Jim.
Mr. Kendall? You're muted on your side, Jim. You're all good to go with us. Jim? Going once. Going twice, going three times. Okay, why don't we do this? Mr. Kendall, if you can work out your audio issues, when we come back into session, I'll give you your 5 minutes if you can get on the webinar before we get started this afternoon. So with that, we are done with this morning's agenda. We have Mr. Whaley. Oh, wait a minute. Jim, you want to give it one more shot before I go to break? Try it again, Jim. Okay. Sorry, Jim, we can't hear you. Get it figured out, and I'll go to you at 1:30 this afternoon. We're going to be on break until that time, as we have Mr. Whaley, who's on our schedule for 1:30, and then we'll address macro and the East Coast climate change scenario. So, enjoy your lunch, and we'll see you at 1:30. And Jim, if you're ready to go, I'll call on you first. Thank you very much.